Welcome back to the show, everyone. It's report card day for the provinces. COVID report card. And the staff is all gathered. And we are going to do report cards for the provinces on the vaccine rollout, on the lockdown restrictions, on school reopenings and long-term care. And we're going to have the big three provinces, Ontario, Quebec, and British Columbia, representing. The report card on Ontario, and we'll discuss it all. Everyone will weigh in. Laura Stone, the Queen's Park reporter for the Globe and Mail, giving the report card on Quebec. Hey, Laura Stone. Is Aaron Derfel, the health reporter who's done remarkable work for the Montreal Gazette. Good afternoon, Aaron Derfel.
Good afternoon, Evan.
And Pamela Fireman is the Vancouver health and medical journalist for the past 25 years. She's got a great website called medicinematters.ca, and she writes largely about the pandemic, so she'll be casting her eye on British Columbia. Pamela, good to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me, and good morning. It's still morning here.
Yes, good morning in BC, probably. Don't tell us the temperature, please. Okay, well...
A sprinkle of snow.
Oh, good. Oh, well, that's good. Yes. That's good. Okay, so we got Laura Stone, and Laura and Aaron and Pamela. Okay, so let's give the report cards. I'm going to start with Ontario, and then we'll move Quebec, and then BC, and I'm going to start with Laura Stone. I spoke with General Hillier yesterday. He's in charge. Just so people know, we're going to start on vaccine rollout. And of course, we know about the vaccine rollout in Ontario. Their portal isn't even open until March 15th. People over 80 can begin booking appointments, I think, March 22nd. They're not vaccinating people over the age of 75 until April, people over 70 a month later. And here's what here's the general, and then I'll get the report card on the rollout from Laura Stone. Here's General Hillier.
So starting the third week of March, it was 80-year-olds and plus. Starting the 15th of April, it will be 75 years old and plus. Starting the 1st of May, it will be 70-year-olds and plus. And starting the 1st of June, it will be 65-year-olds and plus, and it will go down further from there.
Okay, Laura, what's your report card on the Ontario rollout so far?
So am I supposed to give an actual grade, Evan, or can I use some adjectives such as?
You can use adjectives or grades. This is a modern school. I'm old school. I want grades, but I know, it's very subjective. But just give us your report.
So, look, I think that it's been very confusing, and it's been a bit unfocused. The kids have trouble focusing, I would say. We don't quite understand why Ontario is taking 2 weeks longer than Alberta and Quebec to launch its online portal. And the general even acknowledged yesterday that he would have liked to see it launch earlier. But then in the same breath, he also said, it doesn't matter. We don't have the vaccines anyway. And I think there really needs to be some clarity around why it's taking so long to get to those age groups. I think a lot of people in Ontario were surprised to hear that 60 plus, for instance, will not be getting their shots until July. And I think that people were expecting that to happen a lot sooner. And I think that's because there's other groups of essential workers and people in healthcare that are getting their shots at the same time. And the government is trying to prioritize all these competing interests, which is a very difficult job to do, and I don't envy them. But we have a lot of advocates here in the province talking about the Israel rollout, the Israel model, on just focusing on age, knowing the mortality rate for COVID-19, and wondering why Ontario isn't doing that. I think the province has not clearly and adequately explained their plan, and I think they need to do that sooner rather than later. It's coming out in these drips and drabs, it's coming out in these press conferences, but I don't think that they presented a clear enough picture for the public, and I would urge the student to do that very quickly so that there's not a panic and frustration among the public.
Yeah, Laura Stone giving the grade for Ontario, and I would just add here, inexcusable rollout on the portal way too late. It's causing tremendous anxiety, lack of transparency on a plan, especially involving family doctors, the most trusted hub for most people in terms of information. Way too long to get the vaccines. That does go back to the federal government as well, but 34 different health units all doing different things. I think a lot of confusing on the messaging there. I think they got to clean that up quickly. Okay, so Laura's good. That's Ontario. Aaron Defoe from the Montreal Gazette. How would you grade the Quebec rollout? And I should just tell people, Quebec starts vaccinating their general population today. The first 85-year-old plus was vaccinated in Laval. They can register by phone. The online portal, I think it crashed this morning, similar to Alberta. But what do you make about the vaccine rollout in Quebec?
Well, I'll give Quebec a letter grade, and I'm going to give it a B minus. And yes, so the system did crash today. The former mayor of Montreal, Denis Coderre, he wanted to register his parents online and wasn't able to do so, but they were able to get the system back up and running. I actually went online, even though I'm not 85, just to see, how it works. And, so I posed temporarily as someone who's over 85. I didn't book anything, but I was able to get an appointment as early as March 10th. So the Quebec, the Quebec plan is different in the sense that for now it's people who are 85 and over, and caregivers who can accompany them who are at least 70. But the government hasn't yet specified the other age groups. So we don't know, for example, that, as of June 1st, people over 65 are going to be able to get their shots. That hasn't been explained. The other concern is there might be some people who are shut-ins. Will they be able to get vaccinated? You know, the Quebec's health minister, Christian Dubé, has said that it's not possible to vaccinate people at home. So that's a concern. And I think ultimately, though, there is a federal accountability here. So, you know, Ottawa has been criticized for not securing the supplies earlier. And that's something that should be pointed out because, you know, as much as we can fault the provinces for their rollouts, they've been dependent on Ottawa to get the supplies.
Okay, yeah, B minus there. And by the way, the fact that they're doing 85 plus, but including a caregiver, my dad's in his late 80s, my mom is in the late 70s, and in Ontario, they can't get it till March, but there's Quebec beating that. All right, Pamela, BC, report card on BC, where you've already done what? 91% of long-term care residents, 95% of people in assisted living have already got one dose. How would you grade their rollout?
Well, let me get to the the score at the end, but just to set this up, and I agree with Aaron that you can't blame the provinces completely. The feds are responsible for the procurement, and there have been so many issues about that, and they will be ongoing issues. But obviously, there's a need for speed when it comes to the vaccine rollout, and this is all happening amidst the prospect of a third wave. So I think when governments are pressed to execute big programs in a hurry, there's going to be speed bumps. There already have been. What's been fascinating to me these past few days are the comparisons that are being made between provinces and the responses by politicians to those comparisons. We're seeing some defensive posturing, some rivalries exposed. We've heard Premier Ford having to answer why Ontario's platform isn't being launched sooner. We heard him deflect a little by pointing to Alberta's system of crashing on day one when 150,000 desperate people over the age of 75 all tried to log on at once. But despite that, people over 75 are actually getting vaccinated this week in Alberta, and it was again held up as a better model of efficiency.
Right.
At a media briefing with the BC Health Minister earlier this week.
Hold on. We're going to take a break, so I want to get your grade. Oh. I got 30 seconds for your grade, and then we'll come back to you.
Oh, my grade, I would say A for long-term care and C for the general rollout.
General rollout is a C. We're going to dig into long-term care in a minute in a more detailed way. So the long-term care. Laura Stone did not assign a grade, but we got a B- for Quebec. We've got a... what was your grade there for the C, I think, and then we'll find out. So when we come back, we're going to do lockdowns in schools as the vaccine report cards continue. Welcome back. It's report card day on the pandemic, and we've got three, well, fantastic teachers acting like report cards. They cover this stuff very closely. The Globe and Mail's Laura Stone giving the grade on Ontario. Aaron Durfel, the health reporter for the Gazette, does great work giving the grade on Quebec. Pamela Fairman from Vancouver and MedicineMatters.ca giving the grade on BC. We did the vaccine rollout, and just to remind people, Ontario got a needs improvement. Aaron gave Quebec a B- for the vaccine rollout, and Pamela gave BC a B. Now we're going to move on to the lockdown restrictions and the school reopenings. I should just say that the White House in the United States has just tweeted out, just by way, I always like these timeline comparisons, that 60% of people in the United States over the age of 75 have now got at least one vaccine shot. 60%
wow.
of every American over the age of 75 has had one shot, according to the White House chief of staff right now. So that 60% of everyone over 75 has got a shot in the U.S. Just to give you all a baseline of where we're at. Okay, let's start with Quebec this time. Lockdowns, restrictions, Aaron, and school reopenings. And just to get, I know there's a color-coded system. There's loosening of restrictions coming up. Theaters, indoor rinks, and pools are opening for March break. How would you grade them on the restrictions, the reopenings, and the schools?
So, you know, Quebec has been different than the other provinces because it imposed, you'll recall, on January 9th, a nightly curfew starting at 8 p.m., which still exists in Montreal, which is a red zone. In that regard, I would say, you know, going back into the past, I would say that I'd give Quebec a B, and not a higher grade because, unlike Ontario, it was quicker to reopen schools. And we're now seeing that, especially in Montreal, that the B.1.17 variant is circulating widely in schools. So, you know, that doesn't reflect well on the government's management of the pandemic. Going forward, I would have to give the province an even lower grade, perhaps say a C+, maybe even a C, because as you pointed out, the premier is going to open up the province to some extent. Families were able to go to the movies, minus the popcorn, and hockey rinks and, public swimming pools. So, in the context of the variant, circulating widely, you know, that's quite questionable. A number of, epidemiologists and public health experts have questioned this, and our shopping malls are packed, and there in Montreal, there's been an increase in outbreaks in department stores. So going forward, I would give it a lower grade.
Okay, B for school, C for the reopening. Laura Stone, Ontario.
I'm thinking something similar. I think B for schools here, even though there's been a lot of outcry and kind of some loud opposition voices, I think it's gone relatively well. And we are seeing the variant cases crop up in schools in Toronto, for instance, but I don't think there's been that kind of widespread outbreak or disaster that a lot of people were anticipating. And I think there has been a recognition and a push to keep schools open, and parents, a lot of parents certainly want that. I think on the lockdowns and restrictions, something like a C- is probably fair, because I think on both sides of the debate, there's some deep dissatisfaction, you know, from the small business entrepreneurial side. I'm sure they'd give the government an F because they've been extremely disappointed and disillusioned with how the Ford government has approached the reopening. Particularly the Canadian Federation of Independent Business has repeatedly said that Ontario's rules are actually the most strict and stringent for small business, and that the rules were patently unfair for small businesses in keeping big box stores open, for instance, and not allowing smaller businesses to reopen. And that's been remedied somewhat, but except in the largest cities like Toronto, Mississauga, and Brampton, they remain at stay at home. And then I think on the flip side of that, you have the outcry from some medical experts and epidemiologists who accuse Ontario of going much too fast and ignoring the science. So both sides there are deeply unsatisfied, I'd say. And then there's kind of the mushy middle of the general public that I think is quite tired of the pandemic and the lockdowns, but are certainly cautious, and they don't want to have to go into a widespread lockdown again or for schools to close. So I think there's some push and pull there, and the government's kind of tried to ride the middle, but it's I don't think anyone's jumping for joy in the province right now.
Okay, yeah, C minus for the lockdowns and restrictions. I get it. On each side, there's unhappiness, and a B for schools. Pamela, BC on the lockdowns and restrictions and how that's gone and how the school reopenings. And I just point out again, both Ontario and Quebec in the school systems are now seeing these variants of concerns, and they got to get some masks going. How's it going in BC? How would you grade it?
Yeah, so like the other provinces, BC has been seeing the growth in the variants of concern. And so you have COVID case numbers creeping higher for the past 2 weeks. So this scary notion that we're on the cusp of a third wave is really starting to take shape, and we can't ignore that. I think the last time the province released a rate a variance out of total testing, it was only 1%, but many of those variants are happening in schools. So that's fueling the rise in cases in the Fraser Health region, which is the most populated region in the province, and there have been a lot of exposures happening in schools. Let's not forget that every time there's exposures, right, hundreds of people have to stay home and isolate. That's led to calls by the BC Teachers Federation for more rapid testing and 100% all-in mask mandate. I have yet to hear a convincing reason why school districts can't impose their own safety protocols like all-day mask wearing. You may not know that in BC, kids don't have to wear masks when they're sitting at their desks, which seems kind of odd to me.
Crazy, yeah.
All I can say is I get why so many parents and teachers are deeply anxious, and I can't imagine what this is doing to their mental and physical health. So on schools, I would give a C, maybe even a D,
okay,
because I have not yet heard any kind of decent explanation about why classrooms can't be safer. I would just, why not appease teachers and
right,
parents.
Okay, and how would you do? How about reopenings?
Well, when we talk about lockdowns, my response is lockdown. What lockdown? That really hasn't happened in
right,
in BC, except for the beginning of the pandemic. Bars and stores and restaurants have been open, and it's most. It's most confusing and surprising about bars because there have been several outbreaks that began in bars, and I don't get why bars are completely open. That's just a great puzzle to me. Stores and restaurants, they have physical distancing protocols, and you have to wear a mask except when you're eating, But I think that this is about the economy, and I get why the province wants to salvage the economy. But so in terms of lockdown, I would say probably a C as well.
A C. Wow. Okay, Pamela. Okay, so you got like maybe a D on schools in BC. I'm with you on masks. Especially now when you look at what Aaron and Laura said about the variants appearing very quickly. This happens really quick. It's like they're not there, and suddenly they are there, and everything changes. And then you got the C on the lockdowns. And BC has had a much looser lockdowns than Quebec or Ontario. Okay. Let me take a break. The teachers, Laura Stone, Aaron Durfel, and Pamela Fairman, are going to give their grades. We've done vaccine rollout, lockdown restriction schools. We're going to talk long-term care, and we're going to talk who is the best communicator. I think communications has been really tricky on this. So we're going to talk about the long-term care disaster, but who did best and worst, and the grades on that, and the communications going forward. Report cards continue on the Evan Solomon Show. All right, welcome back to the report card on the vaccine. That's how we're spending the opening. Everyone's asking who's doing better. Is my province better than your province? Am I going to get the shot before you? How come my grandfather got it here, but not my grandmother couldn't get it there? What about long-term care homes? So we've already done the vaccine rollout, and we've given the grades in Ontario, Quebec, and British Columbia. We've given grades on lockdowns, restrictions. We've given grades on school reopenings. Now we're going to talk to long-term care, and we're going to move east to west with Aaron Durfel, the health reporter for the Montreal Gazette. Then we, as we move west, Laura Stone, Queen's Park reporter for the Globe and Mail in Ontario. And then way out west to Pamela Fairman, the Vancouver health and medical journalist for medicinematters.ca, the great website there. So Laura, Aaron, and Pamela have been given tough grades. Aaron, we'll start with you. Long-term care homes, they have been a disaster by any stretch. How would you grade the province on from where it began to where it is now on handling the long-term care home facilities?
Well, and during the first wave, you'll recall, you know, Quebec's record was sadly by far the most tragic in the country, with perhaps as many as 5,000 people in long-term care dying from COVID-19. So during the first, I couldn't even give it a grade. I mean, it would be below an F.
Right.
During the second wave, however, the turnaround has improved. So there still have been, you know, I would say several thousand still people dying in long-term care, but in the last few weeks the numbers have dropped dramatically. So right now in the province there are, you know, fewer than 300 active COVID-19 cases in long-term care. This is a remarkable turnaround. And to what do I attribute this? Probably two things: the nightly curfew, and also the decision by the Premier of Quebec, François Legault, to hire 7,000 orderlies to improve care. And then the decision to vaccinate, to give as many people as possible in long-term care, that's been completed. Everyone in long-term care has been vaccinated. They've been given a first shot. And the province was took a risk in proceeding with the first shots and delaying the second shots. And studies now have come out that show the first shot is still effective. So I would say, during the second wave, I would give the province a B+.
Oh, B+, yeah. There's no grade lower than F for the first wave for any province, I think. Let's move west a bit to Ontario and Laura Stone on long-term care.
I totally agree in terms of the overall impact on long-term care as an F. I mean, when you have almost 3,800 people who've died, and many of them in well-documented horrific conditions that are inhumane, I don't think you can justify that with anything other than a failure. Of course, there's a caveat to that in terms of long-standing issues in long-term care that were exacerbated by COVID-19, of course.
Right.
And I hope that this does spur some changes in the sector over the long term. And we've seen certainly some attempts on the part of the government to increase staffing and to improve the conditions. And while there were more deaths in the second wave in long-term care, the overall numbers are of outbreaks and cases are improving dramatically here as well with vaccinations. And so that's great to see. But I think it's no question that the pandemic took a disastrous toll on long-term care homes here. And I just think the military reports and
yes,
the stories that we saw of people crying out for help, dehydrated, dying alone, in conditions that are just that no one should be in, it is has been one of the most heartbreaking things of this pandemic. So I really can't give anything other than an F for overall impact on the long-term care sector.
I would give an A to the military because they blew the whistle. I mean, they just did a great job.
Exactly.
And that shamed provinces and the fiction of the so-called Iron Ring. Just quickly, Laura, how many people now, what percentage in Ontario of long-term care residents have now been, I think after 3,742 deaths, how many people have been now got the vaccine yet? Do we know?
So they say that everyone has been offered at least one dose, right, and many have taken two, and I think it's a 90% uptake. I mean, some people, I guess, chose not to take it, but it's been very well received, right, and widespread. So,
well, that's better. Pretty, it's like Aaron said. Yeah, that gets a little better. Okay, let's go out west. The first case, the first death, sadly, it was in a long-term care home in Vancouver. And Pamela, how would you grade British Columbia on long-term care?
Well, as you point out, Evan, we're coming up to this inauspicious date, March 8th, when an elderly male resident became the pandemic's first victim. So there's that anniversary coming up. Look, across Canada, on a national basis, 80% of all deaths have been in residential care facilities. In BC, the proportion is slightly lower. It's two-thirds of all deaths, and there have been 1,340 deaths, I think, in BC so far. So two-thirds of those have been in long-term care, which is way too high, obviously. But BC still has one of the lowest rates of deaths per million in the world. I think only Norway is lower. So, but it's still a fail. Any way you look at it, the metrics that you have to consider when grading provinces on long-term care, staffing, funding, training, PPE, oversight, crowding, all the provinces have failed. And this is the biggest takeaway from this pandemic, how we have to do better.
Yeah.
So I would say a fail. Now, having said that, weekly deaths have plummeted as of the middle of February because of vaccinations. In the latest report, there were 16 deaths in the previous week and 28 cases, so that's really a huge reduction from the miserable highs in December and January when deaths peaked at 100 in one week and cases peaked at about 500 in a week. It's been a terrible failure.
I got a minute here. First of all, I want to thank you guys for the grades. Tough grades, but it's real. This has been the most consequential from a health point of view. I know it's a challenge for politicians, but if you've done well, we'll give you a good grade. But, you know, some long-term care has been a disaster. What I'd love to do is I'd like to bring back, you know, every month here to get some grades here so we can compare, because everyone's comparing to the U.S., to the United Kingdom, to Israel, but we've got to keep comparing to our own provinces. So Laura Stone, Aaron Durfel, and Pamela Fairman, fantastic work. I really appreciate the three of you taking all this time for our listeners across this great country. Thank you so much for those grades. I wouldn't want you as my teachers, but on a serious note, your journalism has been consequential. It has mattered. It's made a difference. Thank you.